This is Nathan C. Johnson, Bible teacher. Today we are considering the word regarding worship in a time of trouble. How do we come before the Lord in prayer when we are in a time of trouble, a time of turmoil, a time of heartache? As we come before the Lord, today I want to consider together Psalm 5. This psalm, I believe, is a psalm of prayer and worship to God in a time of trouble. This psalm is by David, Israel's great king. And in this psalm, we read of David's trouble when he says in verse 1, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Give heed to the voice of my cry." All David's desire and all David's hope at this time of turmoil are turned towards the Lord. David calls upon God to listen to his words as he cries unto him for help. He wants God to consider his meditation and what it says about his heart. He wants him to heed his voice as it cries unto him. Give ear, consider, and give heed. These words are repeated to express David's earnest desire for God to take notice of his plight and to come to his aid. The last psalm title that listed an event for the writing of a psalm was not in this psalm, it was in Psalm 3. And that psalm title said that it was written as David fled from his son Absalom. I believe, even though there is no title on them, that Psalms 4 and 5 were also written upon this same occasion. And thus we can easily see how David was in trouble at this time and how he earnestly desired the Lord to hear his cry for help. Even now, as he was in flight, as he was in this time of trouble. Going on in verse 2, he says, "My King and my God." Here David acknowledges his sovereignty, even as he calls upon the Lord for help. His own kingship, his own rule might be in question, but he knew who was the true king, and he was calling upon him in prayer. Continuing in verse 2, he says, "For to you I will pray." This shows us that this psalm is a prayer of David's, a prayer of worship and praise, as well as a call for help. In verse 3, he says, "My voice you shall hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning I will direct it to you." How did you begin your day this morning? Or how do you begin a day when you are in the midst of a time of trial and of turmoil in your life? Do you begin the day with fretting or worry? Do you begin the day with anger or sorrow? Those would maybe be the typical reaction, the typical way we'd start our day if we're in a time of real turmoil in our lives. And yet as David begins his day, even during the midst of this, one of the darkest periods of his life, even as he rises from his bed, he is already calling upon the Lord. What better way to begin a day could there be than to look to our Lord to lead and to guide us in all that lies ahead for us that day? I can't think of one. Going on in verse 3, he says, "And I will look up." After setting his prayer in order before God, David looks up to him, awaiting his answer. Now David's thoughts turn to his enemies, the topic that was so heavy on his mind at this time. In verse 4, he says, "For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness, nor shall evil dwell with you. The boastful shall not stand in your sight. You hate all workers of iniquity. You shall destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the bloodthirsty and deceitful man." At this time, as we know from the book of 2 Samuel, the enemies of David, including his son Absalom, were claiming that he was a bad king who did not care about his subjects. David knows that the Lord abhors those who are evil, but he also knows that he is not such a man. The accusations of his enemies against him were false. It was his enemies themselves who were the kind of wicked and destructive person they were claiming David was. In verse 7, he says, "But as for me, I will come into your house in the multitude of your mercy. In fear of you, I will worship toward your holy temple." David speaks of God's temple here and of coming into it to worship. David at this time was cut off from the temple and from worshiping God there. Indeed, we could say that David deserved to be cut off, for this event followed his terrible sin with Bathsheba. David deserved nothing but punishment and death, and to be driven from the kingship. And yet David knew that God had forgiven him, and thus he trusted that God would bring him back into the temple once again. And how was it that he would be able to come? How else but through God's grace? God had forgiven David, and would graciously allow him to worship before him once again. We too are unworthy to come before the righteous God. We too have done things in our lives that mean that we deserve not to be able to worship before him. And yet we too receive God's grace as he allows us, even us as sinners, in prayer to come before his throne to worship. Verse 8. He says, "Lead me, O Lord, in your righteousness because of my enemies. Make your way straight before my face." Here we see that it was David's desire, in this time of trouble, that God's way would be clear to him, so that he could follow it, come what may. How much do we need the same guidance when we are in difficulty and do not know which way to turn? In verse 9, David speaks again of his enemies, when he says, "For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is destruction. Their throat is an open tomb. They flatter with their tongue. Pronounce them guilty, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against you." We see that in all David's troubles and trials, he maintained a right perspective on things. David knew that those who had rebelled against him had not defied him only. Rather, they had defied the God whom he represented and who set him on the throne. Sometimes in our trials and sorrows, it is easy to lose a right perspective on the way things really are. At these times, we need to remember the truth and God's view of things, so that our minds will think of our troubles rightly. In verse 11, he goes on to say, "But let all those rejoice who put their trust in you. Let them ever shout for joy because you defend them. Let those also who love your name be joyful in you." David's enemies had no future, but a guilty sentence before God. How different from his enemies does David consider those who love the name of the Lord? They have a far different future and a far different hope. In verse 12, he says, "For you, O Lord, will bless the righteous. With favor you will surround him as with a shield." David, even in his troubles, it seems, cannot help but finish his psalm in praise. Why? Why would he have a heart and a mind full of praise in this dark day, when he's on the run, when he's cut off from everything that was comfortable in his life, from everything that he had acquired, from his very kingdom, and from the temple where he could worship God? Why would he end his psalm with praise? And it's because he knows the truth. He knows that the Lord will bless the righteous, and that the favor of the Lord will protect them. Loving favor in the Old Testament is an expression for grace. David knew that it was grace that would protect him even in his troubles. In the same way, for us today, it's God's grace that holds us and that keeps us. I don't know if you're coming before the Lord to worship today with a heavy heart or a glad one. I don't know if things in your life are in turmoil or if they're going pretty well. But whatever the case, let us meditate on this psalm and thank our God for the multitude of his grace, even as we worship him together.